Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's elections, selections and appointments drafting team. On Tuesday, the 31st of July, we have Suzanne Chalmers, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Tijani Benjamin, Alan Greenberg, Yaovi Atuhun, Roosevelt King, who I hope has joined us again. We have apologies noted today from Adela Dunthew and Jose Arce. From staff on today's call, we have Matt Ashtiani and myself, Gisela Gruber. Avery Doria has also just joined us in the Adobe Connect room. And if I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Also, if you happen to be on the audio bridge as well as the Adobe Connect room audio, please do remember to mute your speakers. Thank you. Over to you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Gisela. Cheryl Langdon-Orr for the transcript record. And in a perfect world, I'll actually be able to open up the meeting page that I had all prepared and ready to go before my computer decided that it was a very good idea to have an unexpected error and start itself. I notice we only have a single language channel today, so we're just running in English. That's no good reason for us to not speak relatively slowly, and of course, because of the transcript, to identify ourselves before each of us start to speak. With the roll call tonight, we noticed a new name coming on board, that is Suzanne Chalmers. Susan, you noted in the chat you haven't been into one of these rooms before. Welcome aboard. Just to let everyone know, Susan is one of the people who's involved in one of the Asia Pacific regional large organisations, New Zealand NZ, couldn't get it out for a moment there, and Internet NZ is taking a more active role through her back to the good old days when we first started, so Susan will be a name that we'll hopefully see in a number of meetings in the near future, and she's also someone who I'm hoping, unless we frighten her off, may consider helping us do some drafting. And Susan, if you'd like, you can ask any question at all of any of us, but you've got a whole lot of what we'd call old hands in this particular drafting team, so you should feel both welcome and fairly comfortable that it's a small but very efficient team, and certainly a group of people with Alan and Avery and Tijani and, of course, Olivia, who's the current chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee, who know the rules of procedure backwards and forwards. So our ability to draft a new set to do about elections, selections and appointments should be a task that's not too daunting. But that's the job we have at hand tonight. Matt has kindly put a link into, is it the first or the second link, Matt, who the link to the notes from the flip charts. Yes, I had to roll back a little bit. If those of you who are using a system, ordinary computer, for example, where you can open up an additional page, the first thing we'll do is have a quick review of what was done in the small group breakout in the Prague meeting. What we did in the Prague meeting and leading up to Prague is break the existing rules of procedure into three primary sections, which is how the new rules of procedure will be rewritten and recreated. And in the third section, we have two parts, one of which is all about administrivia, and the other which is about appointments and selections and elections, and it's that drafting team's work that we're dealing with in today's call. We've got a couple of things on our agenda, one of which is to agree on a general methodology and way forward. Those of you like Alan, Tijani, Olivier, and of course Yavi, who are on, I think, just about all of the drafting teams for all of the sections, will have a great sense of deja vu about this, but we do need to make sure that each drafting team has got a clear understanding of what we're doing and why we're doing it and how indeed we're going to do it, so that when we bring all these four separate parts back together at the touch point meetings and of course the final documentation, that we have something that's coherent as well as clear, understandable and built in fairly simple, if not plain language. Because one of the things we want to make very certain of with our new rules when they're out and then adopted by the end of the year is that they are unambiguous, particularly when we move them into different languages. Is there any chance, is that a PDF on the flip chart, Matt? Is there a chance of you sharing that in the screen or not? While Matt thinks about responding to my question and whether or not he can put the flip chart PDF contents up on the shared screen, I'll move to the very next part. Yes, he is. Thank you, Matt. You are a wizard. I do appreciate this. Not all of us, of course, could be in the... thanks for that, Matt. Not all of us could be in the various of the breakout sections at the face-to-face meeting in Prague, and of course some people were otherwise occupied. For example, I don't think Yavi was in the room, and I certainly know Roosevelt was elsewhere as well. But Jacqueline and also Yurio, who of course is one of the pen holders for this drafting team, were not in the room. So we will need to perhaps go back to this document at a later meeting when and if we need to. But what we've done during that face-to-face meeting, which did have core capabilities, has been captured on a flip chart, and that has been copied as notes into this particular document that we're sharing at the moment. Remembering that there are a number of rules in the existing rules of procedure that have some reference to selections, elections and appointments, what we are intending to do in the current, in modified, the current rules of procedure, to take them into the modified new rules of procedure, is have things that are a lot less wordy, a lot less cumbersome, and perhaps more generic in approach. So, for example, one of the things we will need to do in this drafting team is clarify a preference for the selection and appointment of people to various roles, and make clear when election, which is a methodology for selection, is to be used. We have a number of times, and I might ask Olivier to weigh in on this one. Olivier, you might prepare yourself on this. When we have to explain to those outside of ALAC, and occasionally even those inside of ALAC, that not everything has to go to a vote. Not everything needs to be done in what would be considered standard electoral format, and that there is a number of situations where people who are in a leadership or indeed a representational role are appointed and are selected by methodologies which may be an election but are not necessarily an election. And Olivier, just before we go through the details of the slip charts, I wonder whether you would like to have a word from your leadership position on where that has perhaps caused us some challenges, particularly as we move from processes that come to us from the edges via the at-large structures and the regional at-large organisations. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. It's Olivier for the record. You've expanded pretty well. I just wanted to add a couple of things. I think the first one is whenever a position is or someone is selected to a position by the ALAC, in general, the advice from the regions is sought. So there is a request for the regions to bring forward what their recommendations would be. However, it is often not understood that the regions, so the RALOs, would provide a recommendation, but the ALAC is not bound to actually following that recommendation. If it finds that it might have other candidates that do not go for the position through the RALO, or if it decides that it's going to go for a candidate that the RALO itself has not voted for or has not found consensus on, it really is the right of the ALAC to do so. So that's one thing that has to be really put clearly, because I think that sometimes regions have a feeling that you select someone and that person will automatically be carried over by the ALAC. So that's one thing. The other thing is that, as you very well said it, Cheryl, you say selection and election, there are small differences between what an election and a selection is, and we know that the selection is the word that is used mostly in our ranks and in ICANN. One has to add one thing, though, with regards to this, which is that the selection process does not actually need to be an election every time. It could be consensus. It could be found via acclamation if there is only one candidate. And there has been a question as to whether there would be a choice as to having none of the above also listed on any ballot if there is an election actually taking place. And that is something which this group might wish to discuss as well. Whether it wishes to have a none-of-the-above option. We've already seen on the list the pros and cons for that, but that's something I wanted to also bring in the discussion here. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia. Cheryl Langdonor for the Transcript Record. And Avery, particularly while you're on this call and early on, I'd like to come to you in a moment with the discussion of the none of the above part, because I know that's something that's happened in fair detail. That discussion's gone on in the NARALA, the North American list. So first of all, you, and then perhaps Alan might want to dive in on that one. But before we get too deeply into it, I wanted to just take us back for a moment, and hopefully those of you who are in the Adobe Connect room have now had a chance to have a little bit of a look at what's on the shared screen. And you'll notice that the group who were working in the breakout room were looking at very structural things. They were looking, first of all, about positions within the ALAC, chairs and vice chairs, some of the time frames, the concept of the offices, the criteria that may be required from them. They looked to some detail for the executive committee and a number of the other issues that are on that screen. To a great extent, a lot of that is actually the job of some of the other drafting teams. We do have a first section which is all about definition and structure, sort of the structure and function of the at-large advisory committee, And so what I'd like to do is move this team away from those particular topics and look more particularly at the mechanics of how appointments to roles and to representation are done, rather than get too detailed into the weeds of what perhaps an executive committee or some other name of a regionally balanced committee within the at-large advisory committee would be. So what I might do is ask you not to get too tied up with what was done in the prior meeting, but to recognise that a lot of what was discussed, which is worthy of discussion, will in fact be picked up by one of the other drafting teams. Now I have Tijani, Alan and then Avery on the line, lined up for the speaking order. But what I'd also like to do is after Tijani, Alan and Avery come back to a discussion on agreement on pretty much what bits of the existing rules we would think would be in or out of our scope. And I'd like to take about 10 or 15 minutes to do that. Let's go first to Tijani. Over to you, Tijani.
Thank you, Cheryl. Olivier, I'm a little bit confused because you gave me the impression that the model we are using is top-down, since ALAC has always the last word in the selection. I want to precise that it is only for the selection of the representative to the NAMCOM, and it happened only once, and it was because there was problems in the region. There wasn't an agreement, if you want. There was a problem, let's say, in the regions. So, I do hope that it is an exception that remain an exception, and it will be always a bottom-up model, always a selection by the RALO, by the region, because for the balance, NAMCOM do it. NAMCOM is choosing people outside the RALOs. So this is the way to balance, if you want to introduce people, valuable people that are not recognized by the RALO. But for the selection, for the other selection, I do hope that our rule of procedure will make it clear that it is a bottom-up model, not a top-down model. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. You noticed... a big green tick came up from Avery, but a great big red cross, which is a disagreement, came up from both Olivier and I. But I see Olivier in the speaking order, so I'll see what he has to say. But it sounds to me like we might have a feisty conversation in our near future. Alan, over to you.
Thank you. I'm not going to speak to none of the above. I'll wait till Avery talks, and I'd like to get back in the queue after that on that
Certainly.
Issue. With regard to Olivier's discussion of selection versus election, with the exception of and the issue of bottom-up versus ALAC making the final choice, in the case of NAMCOM, as Tijani mentioned, it is an ALAC final choice. That's bylaw. Mm. Now, we could campaign for the bylaw to be changed, but that is the bylaw saying the ALAC selects. Now, the ALAC can choose to roll over and play dead and just take the recommendations, or it can choose to accept the responsibility that's been given to it. That's not a discussion for this group, I think, at this point. With regard to the election versus selection, the tone of Olivier's comments implied that that it's already set in stone. And in fact, that's what this group is supposed to be doing, is making decisions on is it election or selection for any given position. That's a decision we can make. If it's not written in the bylaws, and very few of them are written in the bylaws, perhaps the NAMCOM is the only one, those are decisions this group can make, whether it is election versus selection. If it's is it a choice that the regions select someone or identify someone through whatever mechanism they choose, and the ALAC rubber stamps it, ratifies it, or the ALAC may override it. it's not only NomCom that the ALAC has done that. We have done that on some other positions, not officer type positions, but selections to review committees and things like that, and similar things. So the decision has gone that way before. But that is what we're supposed to be talking about here, of what methodology do we use for selecting people, be it election or something else. So it's all on the table, unless it's previously set by bylaws or something else that is, to a large extent, out of our control. That's all for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, and I know you'll get back in the queue. Avery, over to you.
Okay. This is Avery. Hopefully I'm being heard. I'm just trying to do it through the Adobe for the first time, so I've never tested it before.
Loud and clear, Avery. You're terrific.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. I put my hand up because I kind of requested this none of the above, so I'll get to that in a second. On the issue that we're talking about, I very much agree that as much should be bottom-up as possible. Certainly, as Alan says, things that are mandated in the bylaws have a different weight, and those seem to be out of scope unless some other process starts. But for everything else where there is a chance to make it bottom up, where there's a chance to make it more democratic, where there's a chance to make it more participatory and such, as opposed to it only being focused in the hands of ALAC, if that's what I understood Tajani to be saying, I'm fully in agreement with him that as much as possible, part of the problem that I see when I look at ALAC and at large is that we're not constantly bringing all the people in to participate, to give their voice by voting, to give their voice by choosing. I even vote for ACM machinery president, something I'm one of, hundreds of thousands of members for. But I read their bios and I vote. And that makes me feel like it's my organization much more than I ever feel that ARALO is my organization, that the ALAC is my organization as an ALS member, as an ALS participant. I always feel a disconnect between my existence as an ALS participant and what happens in ARALO and ALAC, except for the things that I get myself involved in and use personal voice. But as an ALS member, I barely participate. So I definitely support it. On the none of the above, it's a related issue to me. I was taught to abhor from an early age the single candidate election. And so very often we do because that person is worthy. That person is someone we all love, respect, and want to see continue until they die in office. Fortunately, we have term limits that free them from that much obligation. But we want to see them continue. However, by not offering some choice, we actually cheapen and denigrate the choice we make to only have one. So I think it's very important. I think the mandate that person gets from having a vote where people could have voted against but didn't is critical. I also, and this is a broader argument and one I'm less viscerally connected to, is actually I think it belongs on every slate, because especially if you start to take democracy out from the top and move the democracy to the ALSs and beyond, you then find that they read the biographies, they see what these people have done, and they really may want to say, hey, you guys haven't been doing anything. For example, when I look at Congress now in the United States, when I vote, I really want to say none of the above, but I want to be able to vote. So anyhow, these are issues I'll get. I wasn't planning to bring them up now, but these are the two different ways I look at none of the above and such as something that needs to be in elections. And I agree with Tajani that we need more elections. And, for example, I truly believe we need elections in electing our board person. So, but I didn't figure those were really topics to get into deeply now. But since I was called on, I wanted to speak to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery, and we do need everything out on the table at this stage because the language we use is important. Next in line is Olivier, and then I have Tijani and Alan again. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's Olivier again. I just wanted to respond to Tijani's comments that he believes I'm pushing for top-down rather than bottom-up, and I've heard this being said on several occasions. Well, first, there are other instances of ALAC actually choosing people, the liaisons. I believe part of the seed 15 selection process is also pretty much in the hands of the ALAC. And as Alan said earlier, choosing people for working groups is also in the hands of the ALAC. But there is one thing that I really wish to focus on, and that's the fact that ALAC members, two out of three ALAC members from each region, are selected by the regions, which effectively means that these are your extensions into the ALAC. The members that are on the ALAC are supposed to be a bridge back to the region. Now, if those members don't perform that bridge back to your region, then change them, because they're definitely not doing the job that they should be doing. It's not a case of the ALAC imposing things on the regions. The regions are choosing the members of the ALAC. So ultimately, I think that there is a real disconnect at the moment between the regions that believe that they are independent and should be able to tell the ALAC what to do, and the ALAC not following what the regions are telling them to do. Well, perhaps there needs to be an improved dialogue between the ALAC members from that region and the region itself, because I see this as being direct input up. The difference between the region and so the RALO and the ALAC members themselves, as far as I'm concerned, should be as narrow as possible. Because there should be a symbiosis for them to work together rather than working against each other. That's the point I wanted to make on this, because I do believe that if the ALAC makes choices, it will act, or the individual members in the ALAC will act by listening to what the region has to say. And if there are times when the ALAC's decisions are different than the region's decisions, well, perhaps this is when the regions start talking together that they should see. Well, the ALAC actually talks together between the five regions, and that might have been some of the reasons why the person was not chosen. I think I've made a mess of the last part of my sentence here, but I think you've got a good idea of this. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivia. It's Cheryl for the transcript record again. I next have Tijani, then I'm going back to Alan. Go ahead, Tijani.
Thank you. Olivier, you misunderstood me. I didn't say that you are pushing for a top-down model. I said that you gave me the impression that we have a top-down model, and yet we don't have it. It is really a few, I would say perhaps two cases of selection by the ALAC different from the recommendation of the RALOs. So our model is really bottom-up. But I would like that this exception remain an exception, and we try to always recognize or recognize the RALO recommendations. I can tell you, Olivier, that people on the ALAC from the region can be in disagreement with the majority of the members of the RALO, and they can push for a different choice, and this can be, I think, not a good thing. So, let's say that in the in most cases, we will try to be always, we will try to stick to the region's choice. Second point, between selection and election, I don't see it selection against election. It is always selection. And there is a lot of kind of selections. If we have only a single candidate, it will not be an election. It will be a selection by consensus or by acclamation, or I don't know. So it is always a selection, and the election is one kind of the selection. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani, and over to you, Alan.
Thank you. whole bunch of things now. In terms of, Tijani said that we should always try to be bottom up, and of course I can't disagree on that. The issue is what do we put in the rules here? If the rules allow the ALEC to override, it still may not do that very often. But the question here is, do we allow it to override, or do we force railroads to make a decision? And sometimes railroads will not be able to make a decision, and they have passed two candidates for something or other onto the ALEC for the ALEC to select. But the real question is, do we allow the ALEC to override under appropriate circumstances? And I think we need to, I think it's going to vary based on the issue. If we're selecting a chair, and that's not a railroad selected one, but bear with me for a moment, there's only one of them. You know, we're not going to strive for gender balance in any given any given chair, although the concept is perhaps interesting. But there are other positions where things like gender balance, region balance, and such are important, and we may want to give ALEC the discretion of overriding particular recommendations from RALOS. I'm not sure I know, as Suzanne said, it hasn't happened very often, and when it's happened, I don't think there's been any objection from the region in most cases, in the case I can remember, because the region actually gave multiple alternatives. So our question here is do we allow ALEC to override? With regard to bottom-up versus top-down, as was pointed out, the majority of the ALEC members are selected by the RALO, and we have to get back to that and remember that. That, you know, not every decision is one that should go all the way back to the bottom and all the way up to the top again. That's why we identify people to speak on behalf of the RALOs. In terms of none of the above, I agree intellectually with everything Avery said, but I think, and Evan has made the case far better than I have, that it ends up in a divisive process should none of the above ever win, and it does happen on occasion. We're a volunteer organization. If you can't find two people to volunteer, then arbitrarily saying we need a none of the above and stage an election for the theatrics of it, I think is a waste of useful time. And the result should a none of the above win is implies, yes, it implies that we didn't like any of the candidates, but it also implies no one is willing to stand up and do it that we do like, and yet this is an organization where we still have to move forward.
It still has to be done, yes.
That's right. And again, in terms of selection versus election, our choice here is to decide if we say election and if it is contested, it must go to an actual vote of someone. You know, we have to decide, is it the ALAC, is it some other group, is it a larger superset? Okay. If we say selection, then we can more easily allow consensus decisions and discussion about it. One of the differences is consensus is something that is discussed. An election, our policy so far has been it's always a secret ballot. So there are merits to that because people will say in secret, on a secret ballot, what they will not say to their friends, to their face. And that's the kind of thing that we have to consider. So thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl, I'm going to offer the transcript record again. And we've gone on a little longer in that, but I think what we did is dive into some of the issues that we will be looking at as we go towards putting pen to paper or, more to the point, fingertip to keyboard. Or screen in some cases. What I heard there was a couple of fairly important points which is going to help us decide what is in and out of scope for our current work. But just before we dive to that, I've popped in the link to the current bylaws, which are the 2011 version in the archives. There is, in fact, in the bylaw, the word elected used with relationship to the at-large advisory committee, it's mainly selected, selection is the language you'll see in the ICANN bylaws relating to people who have roles in the at-large advisory committee, in other words, who actually become the at-large advisory committee. And in fact, that's very much talking about how the regional at-large organisations, which are one for each geographic region, and the nominating committee will select members who then become the at-large advisory committee, which is currently 15 persons strong. But the bylaws do actually state that the ALAC, the 15-person ALAC, will elect a chair. And unless someone can find another reference, I do think that is probably the only time election, which is a form of selection, we all agree, is actually mandated. The matter of the appointments to the NomCom clearly state that it is the ALAC which will do the selection, even though the ALAC's current modus operandi or method of working is to go to the regional at large organisations and seek their advice and indeed a list of people who they believe have the qualities, criteria and character to go forward and be appointed by the ALAC to the role of nominating committee member for any given year. So I just wanted to make sure that we were all clear where we are constrained by bylaw and where we are not. Alan, your hand's still up.
That's just an error on my part.
Oh, okay. Not a problem. So as long as we know that in terms of our limitations, the only bylaw limitation we have to use an election is for the role of chair of the at-large advisory committee. And the what is obviously in scope there is we do need to come up with some form of agreed set of rules on how such an election will go on. The electorate is clearly defined in this case because the electorate for the chair of the ALAC is the at-large advisory committee, in other words, the 15-person ALAC. However, as Alan will point out, I'm sure we do have a choice with electorates that are indeed the ALAC. The nature of turnover in the at-large advisory committee means that at the end of the annual general meeting each year of ICANN, any newly appointed members, either from the nominating committee process or by the regional at-large organisations, take their seat, even though they in some cases will have been selected and or appointed to the ALAC in June of the year. It may be October or November before they actually take their seat as the new ALAC. And so we do need to be careful as we're drafting even the rules for something as clearly as electing the chair of the ALAC, that we know which ALAC we're talking about. The ALAC that is up until the beginning and during the meeting, the annual general meeting of ICANN in any given year, or the one that is fully formed with the new members, if there is indeed new members, at the end of one. We might think some things are easy, but we need to be very cautious and careful how we write these rules so that they are clear and unambiguous. I see Avery, and then I see Alan. Go ahead, Avery.
Thank you. This is Avery speaking again. I just want a clarification brought in the speech there. I got confused. Did you say that this group, that it is in scope for this group to decide that the civil process can be an election, or did you say that making that decision was out of scope for this group? And I really wanted to be clear on that, because only one thing may be as elected at the moment, and as Tajani pointed out, election is a mode of selection. What I'm trying to understand and what you said, were you prescribing that it was in scope or that it wasn't in scope? I don't mean prescribing, I mean suggesting.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, Avril, let me respond to that first, because you may in fact have a follow-up point. What I was saying is, in terms of the ICANN bylaw and our at-large advisory committee founding documents, for the want of a better set of words there, the only thing we are bound to in the word elect is a chair. So it is in scope for this group to discuss and to come up with drafted terms for the current ALACS review, perusal, acceptance or rejection. I guess they could also do some modification. Is a set of rules, proposed rules, that cover off electoral and selectoral processes, but the one thing we have to have as an election is the chair of the ALAC. We may argue that all things need to be elected, that's certainly a possible outcome, but I would think that it is in scope, to answer your question. Avery, do you want to follow up on that then?
Oh, it was the last word that you said. So it is in scope to discuss making an
Yeah, you broke up there, Avery. My guess is
in other,
you're saying...
I'm really trying to get it clear. So,
yes. I would think yes is the answer.
Thank you.
Unless everyone else disagrees, but I see at the moment, by the reading of everything, the answer to that would be yes. But we know the one thing we have to have election for is the chair. Alan, over to you, and then I have Yavi.
I understand.
Sorry, was Avery trying to get back in?
She may have been. It broke up a bit. Say again, Avery.
Okay, I'm assuming I have the floor. Cheryl, I'll add one more thing just to make it slightly fuzzier. If this group or any group or the ALAC itself feels viscerally that the chair should not be elected but should be done through some other method, we certainly can request that the board make a bylaw change. I don't suspect they would object. I personally think election is the correct thing from that, because I think the chair has enough responsibility that we want an active decision on selecting the chair. So I personally feel that election is the correct word for that one, and I don't want to see a change in the bylaws, but that is within our scope. We could ask. We can't change the bylaws unilaterally, but we certainly could ask if there were something there that we thought warranted it. In respect to something I think you said earlier, or maybe it was, I lost track who, the division of responsibilities between the drafting teams. My understanding is this drafting team is looking at procedures on how to do things.
Yep.
And I think we can look at the election versus selection issue. In terms of what positions are we trying to fill by the rules this group will set up, I think that is something that we have to turn to the other groups for. In other words, should there be an XCOM, should there be 17 vice chairs, that's a decision which I believe we need to have handed to us. So there needs to be some level of communication.
Correct.
And I suspect the timing also is something that we want to look at. This group might need to set the timing for an election selection, but the overall timing, when it has to be done by, I believe should be done by the groups that are deciding who are the officers, what positions do we have to fill, and how does it fit into the overall calendar. So So what this group is doing, I think, is tightly linked to the other groups. And there's going to be a tendency, I think, for two groups to do some things, and we're going to have to be sensitive to it. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, and they're very important points indeed. I had an attempt at making that clear at the beginning, particularly when we were looking at the what was in the flip charts, because I think that shows a great overlap. But we certainly need to be very careful on this. But there are a lot of decisions to be made and language to be drafted just in selection, election and appointment processes. And we'll jump into that in a minute. But at the moment, I have Yavi and then Tijani. Go ahead, Yavi.
Yeah, thank you. Yavi speaking. From our discussion, my recommendation is that we ask the definition group to mention what we understand by selection and then by election. And just from our discussion, this is one of the recommendations I want us to make to the definition drafting team. Okay, my second point is that I'm fine with keeping election for the chair because personally, election is one way in this process. We are sure that we have the voice of everybody in some way, different way. So I'm also fine leaving open as selection has election method inside and other methods. So for the chair himself, I'm very comfortable that we keep it as an election because I don't find this as an issue now. And my last comment is about the document itself, where we have also, we still have the election for upper liaison in the current document, election of liaison. We have also the word election here. That should not be normally election of liaison. And this is my last comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Yavi. Just before I go to Tijani, I think we could probably just follow up on some of your points. Yavi, there's a number of current rules. We talk about, in the current rules, election of officers. We talk about election of liaisons, that's capital L liaisons, and they are predominantly the bylaw mandated liaisons to the support organisations as the GNSO and the CCNSO, and then we go on and talk about appointments and other things. There is no reason to believe that those rules will still exist in the new version of rules. So we do not need to, I think as Alan was pointing out, feel tied to having to make language that talks about particular roles, but we do need, because those roles may not call for an electoral process, but we can pretty well guarantee they will call for some form of selection or appointment. And to that end, we have to come up with predictable sets of language that will allow everyone a clear understanding of who gets to do the selection and how those selection processes will be conducted, as well as Alan pointed out, to some extent, the timing of those sorts of things. Tijani, over to you.
Thank you very much. Just to remind you that even if the bylaw said that the chair of ALAC must be elected, we didn't elect him. He was a single candidate, and it was the consensus. So that's why I say that when you say we have to impose election for certain position, it is more or less ridiculous to elect in a case where you have a single candidate, for example, or in a case that the nomination was very clear. That means that you have one guy nominated and seconded by the majority of the members. So we will not run an election to confirm that he has the majority. So the selection is the basic, and we have to define the selection as a selection by consensus, and if and not possible, run an election. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that, Tijani. I see Alan has raised his hand, but I might just mention that, of course, a number of rules of various organisations that I'm for sure a number of us are familiar with do go to the detail of saying in a electoral process, if a single candidate who is appropriately qualified and fits whatever criteria is put forward for a particular role, that no vote needs to be held. Now, Avery may argue that perhaps another way forward might need to be enshrined in such rules, but certainly I am, and I suspect all of us are, familiar with bylaws for various organisations that say if only one suitably qualified and properly meeting all the criteria name is put forward for a role, that an election, in other words a set of votes, does not necessarily have to be called for. But we do have to deal with that, absolutely. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you. You said most of what I was going to say. That is, our rules should be explicit with regard to acclamation, assuming we don't go with a none of the above type option. So they should be explicit on that, but that is still an election. It just doesn't require a vote. So I think in terms of the optics of it, there is a significant difference between something where there might be multiple candidates and there would be an actual vote taken, a private vote, a secret vote taken, and the case where you simply arrive by consensus, where there may be other candidates, they drop out in the discussion and things like that. It's a different process that we're talking about, but I don't think the fact that there's only one candidate, if we have a rule about acclamations, is not an election. It's still an election, just doesn't require a vote. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for that, Alan. Being very aware that the top of the hour is looming upon us, and noting that, as sometimes happens, we haven't actually gone through all of our desired agenda items, but we've danced around a number of them. I just want to bring out some of the chat that Roosevelt is raising, and I would note also that what we do for Susan's benefit is we take the chat and actually take that as a transcription and send that around to the lists and have it linked as sort of support documentation to our meeting page, so we don't lose all that chat as well. I think what we need to do is pen, so as a result of this meeting we need to have our little wiki space expanded to have a page where we look at selection and appointment, that the ALAC uses selection to appoint particular roles and representational roles to be done. In other words, you appoint some people from within the ALAC, such as a chair, and link to the bylaw that's referenced there. We appoint some people to other representational roles, such as our NOMCOM appointees, and we sort of go through what are fixed in current legislature, for the want of a better term, appointments and selections, and this would be our liaisons to the SOs, and we should probably say in future perhaps to other ACs. It should mention our appointments and roles that we put out to the community-based review teams, and it should also look at appointments we make to other parts of the organisation, such as work groups or drafting teams, where we often have not only individual members putting themselves into have a voice at a table, but the ALAC itself may request a liaison to act as a conduit between a working group either one of its own working group or a working group in another part of ICANN and its own activities. So if we list those out and we look at how we want to have those people appointed and what type of mechanism, including traditional forms of election. If we can then have, at the moment we've got Yurio who's offered but is unfortunately, well not fortunate for him, he's on his summer holiday break and in an area where he doesn't have connectivity today, so he will have to catch up on the transcript. And I'm going to ask if at the moment Avery and a couple of others who are particularly strong on some of this, like Roosevelt, with their opinions, can put comments on this page, staff, and I will set that up between now and next week. So by early next week, or probably this time next week at least, that page will be up, and we will we'll advertise that page. And so, if we could do wiki work on that, that would be good. Susan, I'm going to have to ask staff to help you to make sure you've got editorial rights to the wiki there, because I'm very keen to get your Antipodean view in on these things. And what we'll do in terms of fixing things like rapporteur from this group and the particular type of voice we're going to use for what we're writing, which is actually Section 3B of the new rules, we'll move to the following meeting. If you're happy with that way forward, I'll just ask Gisela if she can let us know what the arrangements are for our next meeting, noting that it is a particularly inhumane time for Susan, I believe. You'll be talking, are you 1 or 2 a.m. at the moment now, Susan? She might be on mute, but we might need to look at shifting around the clock, as I think a number of other drafting teams will do. So I don't know, Gisela, whether you wanted to propose a doodle for that or not. Over to you, Gisela. Susan's typing,
sorry,
so she's probably muted. Go for it.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Sorry about that. Gisela for the transcript. We are looking at the week of the 27th of August, and as discussed with Cheryl, possibly an ROP, joint ROP and metrics working group call, and a doodle poll will go out for that in order to allow as many people as possible to participate, especially that it is during the summer holidays, so whoever is available hopefully will be on the call at the most suitable time.
Okay, thanks very much for that. We've got an action item on me and staff to try and populate a page for us to start working on until the pen holders are back from holidays and are suitably organised. I'm hoping that I might inspire Susan to pick up the pen on some of these things as well. Because we need fresh blood here as well. I'd like to thank all of you for your time today. And Susan, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to get Matt or Gisela to contact you directly and make sure that you're on the appropriate email list and that you have access to the wonderful world of our wiki. Okay, thank you one and all. Bye for now. And I'm sorry it's a couple of minutes past the top of the hour. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.